I'm going to begin reading with the 17th verse in 1 Corinthians 11. In the following directives, I have no praise for you, for your meetings do more harm than good. In the first place, I hear that when you come together as a church, there are divisions among you. And to some extent, I believe it. No doubt there have to be differences among you to show which of you have God's approval. When you come together, it is not the Lord's Supper that you eat. For as you eat, each of you goes ahead without waiting for anyone else. One remains hungry, another gets drunk. Don't you have homes to eat and drink in? Or do you despise the church of God and humiliate those who have nothing? What shall I say to you? Shall I praise you for this? Certainly not. For I received from the Lord what I also passed on to you. The Lord Jesus, on the night he was betrayed, took bread. When he had given thanks, he broke it and said, "This is my body, which is for you. This do in remembrance of me." In the same way, after supper, he took the cup, saying, "This cup is the new covenant in my blood. Do this whenever you drink it in remembrance of me. For whenever you eat this bread and drink this cup, you proclaim the Lord's death till he comes. Therefore, whoever eats the bread or drinks the cup of the Lord in an unworthy manner will be guilty of sinning against the body and blood of the Lord. A man ought to examine himself before he eats of the bread and drinks of the cup. For anyone who eats and drinks without recognizing the body of the Lord eats and drinks judgment on himself. That is why many of you are weak and sick, and a number of you have fallen asleep. But if we judged ourselves, we would not come under judgment. When we are judged by the Lord, we are being disciplined so that we will not be condemned with the world." So ends the reading of the Word. Let's pray. Our God and our Father, it is with love and adoration that we look to you, knowing that you have loved us so much and provided abundantly for us. We come to wait upon you this morning, praying that presence, guidance, and instruction of your Holy Spirit that will enable us to understand and believe and do. So help us that you may be honored and glorified. Through Christ we pray. Amen. People are different. Personalities are different. We don't like to admit that's true about ourselves, but it is true. You may remember in My Fair Lady, Henry Higgins said, "I'm just an ordinary man. What's so different about me?" In fact, his problem was, he said, "Why can't women be more like men? Just an ordinary person. Nothing unusual." But the longer you stop to think about it and watch people, the more you learn we're all different. We have different ways of communicating. There are some people who are early birds, and some who are night owls, or as a friend of mine put it, there are the leapers and the creepers. And I'm not about to tell you which I am. We're different. When Mary Lou and I got married, it didn't take me long to learn that we were remarkably different in a myriad of ways. We've had a wonderfully happy marriage for more than 30 years, but we are different. And one of the things she taught me was that there are some days that are special. For me, every day is about the same. I figure you just go along, You enjoy each day. You make the most of it. Why get all worked up over one special day and then forget all the rest? For example, why make a big deal over somebody's birthday, heap a lot of presents on them, and then the rest of the year ignore them? Make every day a good one. But she began to help me understand why some days are really special, and they need to be set apart as special. After a little thought, I realized all my life I loved Christmas. I can still remember one Christmas when I was about 4 years old. I remember it dimly, obviously. But I remember walking down the hall, and it wasn't even dawn, walking down the hall, taking the turn, looking at the Christmas tree. I still remember seeing an airplane on top of all the presents. Boy, what a Christmas. It was a special day. You look forward to it. And part of what we see in the Old Testament is that God made some days special. He made them special for a reason, so that His people would begin to understand the significance of their relationship with Him and of their earthly pilgrimage. They needed mileposts along the way as reminders, encouragers, and instructors. And so God gave them special days. The Day of Atonement, the various feasts. And there was one day that was really special to the Jewish people. It was the day of the Passover. It was the day Jesus was crucified. The day of the Passover. For Christ became our Passover lamb. And it is through His sacrificial death, spilling His blood to cover and atone for our sins, that we are freed from the bondage of sin and the fear and judgment of death, led into a pilgrimage that ultimately takes us into the very presence of God in heaven. And today, we come to a special day, not merely because it is the First Communion service at Park City's Presbyterian Church. That's special enough. But because there is no more special, no more sacred, no more sublime moment in the life of God's people, that when we gather around the table as He has asked us to do, commanded us to do, remembering what He has done for us, so that our sins might be forgiven, so that we might have fellowship with Him, be a part of His family, and be absolutely certain that one day He will gather us into His presence in heaven, and then we will know the reality of the things promised here in this supper, because we will celebrate the great festival of all of the saints in the presence of the Lord. That will be the great day and the great supper. And until He comes, we remember and we anticipate, looking forward to that time. Because it is such a special day, the worst thing in the world any of us could do would be to take it for granted, to be perfunctory, or to abuse or profane this sacrament in any fashion whatsoever. See, that was the problem that existed in Corinth. How could there be anything more special than acknowledging and recognizing and symbolizing that relationship with the Lord through Jesus Christ and the bonds of love which they had begun to know among one another? They gathered for a love feast, and it became a drunken brawl. They profaned the sacred things of God. And not only was Paul upset, God was angry. And in those words of admonition, there is a warning an instruction for every one of us. As Jesus said, you don't throw your pearls before swine. You don't take what's holy and give it to the dogs. And so we remember this morning what happens here. It's far from ordinary. It is a special, sacred, sublime moment when we are in the very presence of God, acknowledging that which is at the center of our relationship to Him, the heart of our very redemption and salvation. Those elements, the bread, the cup, remind us that Jesus Himself let His body be humiliated. He died so that we might live. In His death, there was life for us. Suffering the punishment our sins deserved, we find forgiveness. In His alienation on the cross, we find acceptance. So that we know we are the Lord's. And He will never leave us, never forsake us. And so the Apostle Paul says, as you come, you need to realize that when you take these elements, it is, as he says in chapter 10, verse 16, a participation in the blood of Jesus Christ. It is a participation in the body of Jesus Christ sacrificed for you. And if you eat and drink unworthily, you eat and drink to your own judgment. That's possible. That's why it's so important that we never be perfunctory about what we do. That we come to this moment recognizing it for the moment it is and never make it a sacrilege. Let a man then, he says, examine himself. And what does that mean, other than in the first place acknowledging the reality of what we celebrate, the significance of it? Except perhaps to be honest in acknowledging who we are and our need for what's done. That's why I appreciated so much the solo Jimmy sang. It's easy to come thinking, we deserve it. We're good people. Maybe we're even a little better because we're here. And yet, deep in our hearts, we know our only merit and our only hope is in the Lord Jesus Christ. Let the one who thinks he stands take heed lest he fall. Not everyone who says, Lord, Lord, will enter into the kingdom. But the one who does the will of my Father who's in heaven. Let a person examine himself, Paul says. You come this morning. Do you acknowledge your sinfulness that brings you under the judgment of God, realizing that your only hope for forgiveness and eternal life is through Jesus Christ? Are you willing to acknowledge that you are truly a sinner and in need of that cleansing blood and forgiveness? Is there anything between you and someone else here, or someone else in Dallas, or someone in your family that needs to be straightened out? If there's some sin you've not confessed and dealt with, the Bible says, leave your gift and get it straightened out, and then come to the altar. You may need to take a few moments this morning to get your heart right if you haven't done that. Is there anything between you and the Lord, an unconfessed sin, something you haven't really wanted to deal with and get out, but you know you need to do it? The Lord's Supper is not for perfect people. It's for sinners. But it's only as we are honest and confess our sin, asking for His forgiveness, that we have his assurance that he will forgive our sins and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. That's what we look forward to this morning. To know he loved us so much, he gave his son so that we might be forgiven and have fellowship with him forever. Let's pray. Gracious Father in heaven, in these moments now, we come to acknowledge your goodness to us and the wonder of our salvation in the Lord Jesus Christ. Make this time special in these moments and forever. Through Christ we pray. Amen.